David, I love that candle you're burning. You seem to always have a great candle burn.
I am very aware of how a room smells. When you've spent over a decade with a 75-pound Labrador Retriever and two teenage boys, you start to worry that your house smells like the inside of a gym bag.
I would imagine so.
You know what I wish we'd had for the last decade?
What?
That Puro Air purifier we now own and use all the time.
I love my Puro Air too. Did you know that indoor air quality can be up to 100 times dirtier than outdoor air?
Yes, I lived with two teenage boys. I can 100% testify to that.
In 30 minutes, this device will remove allergens, dust, smoke, dander, and gases from the room.
Gases from a preteen boy?
I'm dreading when my nephews start making those gases.
Just you wait. Thankfully, Puro Air uses a stronger type of filter called HEPA 14 that filters pollutants at a microscopic level and is backed by scientists from Harvard and MIT.
You wouldn't drink unfiltered tap water, so why would you breathe unfiltered air?
Thanks to my Puro Air purifier, I feel like I can breathe again.
Check it out at getpuroair.com. That's GetPuroAir.com.
One more time, getpuroair.com. Check it out now.
Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in. Well, it goes without saying that today is one of our favorite days of the year, National Taco Day.
Woohoo!
We've been told along the way that sometimes we talk more about tacos than parenting, but we're trying to talk about both. And we are just jumping up and down at the thought of celebrating this great day with two people that we love. Gabe and Keely Scott are dear friends and the brains and brilliance behind our beloved Lady Bird Tacos. And today we are going to talk all things tacos, all things parenting, and they are going to share not just an unbelievable story, but an unbelievable story that is full of rich truth. So stay tuned for one of our favorite conversations with Gabe and Keely Scott.
So we'd love to start with hearing a little bit about your story, about your family then and now, and how you found your way to not just the work, but I would say the works, because there's a lot of things going on work-wise between the two of you.
Yeah.
So all of it.
All right.
You want to go first?
Ladies first.
Oh, thanks. I come from Texas, the great state of Texas, born in Houston. Have two amazing parents. They go by T.O. and Khaki. I think you've both met them at Lady Bird before.
Yes, they're delightful.
And then I have my sister, younger sister, who lives in Austin, with two amazing little boys and her husband, Clint. And that's like our family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, born and raised in Houston. Grew up going to the same church and school from first grade on. So my community was real, I mean, it was big, but it was also tight, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you go to camp?
Well, I did. Well, sort of. I went to Camp Longhorn once.
I was wondering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all my teachers were counselors and I just loved it. So I decided to go to Kanakuk and be a counselor one year. And that was educational because I just was not a Kanakuk person.
Yeah.
And then I went and I was a counselor. So I'm not really
a
camper.
I'm a Texas camp girl.
Oh, you are?
If you remember
that. No.
I went to Waldemar.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yes. I had friends that went there. Yeah. How have we never put that together?
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. but then I was like theater kid, music. I kind of like switched. So during the times of camp. Yeah. And grew up with a band out of Texas, Cademan's Call.
Yes.
I was a little bit younger, but I was always around them, just following them, I guess, and watched them. And I really did. I was like, I want to go to Nashville. And I knew I wanted to go to Belmont. And that's what happened.
Wow.
And I think my parents thought I'd always come back. And I met a boy and I stayed.
So, very nice.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. You say that to my dad. Yeah.
To everybody. Yeah. Is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
I come from Michigan, small town in central Michigan. And I graduated with 68 other people at the public school.
Wow.
The only. And it was a good place. to be came from my parents and a have an older brother. That was okay sometimes. we have a 5-year difference, so thankfully we were never like in the same school at the same time, so that was good for us. But it was a very small place where it was innocent, at least for me, an innocent place to grow up. And the slightly downside to that is that although innocence is good, sometimes opportunity is missed as well. And so I liked doing this thing, playing music, which I did all the time, but that's not the kind of town that you you realize, wait, somebody will pay me for this? Somebody will pay me money to like strum a guitar? What?
As a career?
Yeah. So that's where I came from. And as weird as it is to say, I'm thankful that I left. That sounds mean, but because my family's all still there. But I got to leave and discover that you can actually play music for this thing called a living. So, yeah.
So that's one of your jobs.
Yeah. It turns out that, I mean, and there was a bit of a hiccup in there, which is that I quit college halfway through. And because my dad, a lifelong educator, came to me and said, I found this place in Florida you can go to and get a degree in sound engineering called Full Sail. And I was like, wow, okay. That's not really what I wanted to play the guitar, not record it, but you can get a degree. So, okay. So I moved down to Florida and went to this school and was living with a pastor, random connection that turns out to not be so random, changed my life because I got asked to be a junior high lock-in chaperone. Who knew that was going to be like the opportunity of a lifetime? But he was the pastor and said, hey, we're having a lock-in. Can you be a chaperone? That's junior hires. Oh, great. Sure. You're letting me live here for free. I don't want to, but okay.
Right.
And I did. And they hired a college kid that night to come in and play music that nobody listened to because they're junior hires. And his name's Andrew Peterson. And so we met that night and spent the rest of the lock-in locked in the pastor's office away from everybody.
Were y'all playing like Rich Mullins songs?
He'd play Rich Mullins and I'd play Randy Stonehill back and forth. Yeah.
Wow. How old were y'all?
We would have been, let's see, 22.
Wow.
He's slightly older. He was 23. but yeah, so we did that. And less than a year later, we were out on a nationwide tour opening for the band that Keely just mentioned.
Which is Cademan's how we met, because of Cademan's.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
So that junior high lock-in changed my life.
Yeah.
Wow. So, in more ways than one, because you met me.
That's
too.
What I mean. Okay, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, just a quick PSA, if you ever get, would you please be a chaperone at this junior high lock-in? You should say yes.
Yes. Leads to a lot of good things.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of good things,
yep.
This episode is going to air on National Taco Day.
I know.
And it feels so fitting that we would have the brains and brilliance behind Lady Bird Taco with us in this room for this conversation. And anyone listening, anyone who's been within 2 feet of the two of us knows how much we love Lady Bird.
That is the truth.
So much so that people ask us often, it's one of our favorite questions, like, what should my order be when I get to Nashville? And we love that.
I know.
It feels so fun to ask the two of you that question. Ooh. Like, for folks arriving in Nashville, having their first magical experience of Lady Bird, what would you recommend they order?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or Birmingham.
Yes,
or Birmingham.
Yeah,
yes.
Thanks. Well, I think people are always surprised to hear that we eat it almost every day still. So
I
3 years
would.
In. Yeah.
Yes.
Me too. I do.
We do.
We do.
So I think I always have to go with my current order.
Mm-hmm.
And my current order is a number 11, which is black beans, pico, avocado, potatoes.
Mm.
And then if I'm feeling real crazy, I add queso to that.
Oh,
have y'all done that yet? It's real
no.
good. Yeah, it's good.
That's making me so hungry.
So I do, that would probably be my like, that's like my current, what I get often order.
Yeah.
But I'm a sucker, obviously, fresh tortillas and just a thing of queso.
And so, your tortillas or something.
That was him. But yeah, what's your order? Oh, and coffee. Sorry.
Oh, sure.
We have crema, so I get that every day.
Yes.
Yeah. Including today.
Yeah. Yes.
I I think mine shifts too, but currently it is sort of the foundation for being silly enough to go from music to, I think I'll open a restaurant. fresh tortillas, but the number six, which is our Migas taco, you don't find it many places outside of Texas. I mean, you don't find breakfast tacos much outside of Texas, but you really don't find a Migas taco, which is, you know, it's not just eggs in a tortilla. It's eggs that have chips that are cooked in with them, and it makes them soft and chewy instead of crunchy. Nothing wrong with crunchy. And then you wrap this tortilla around it, and it is all the textures, all the goodness. It sounds like I'm trying to sell it right now. I'm not. I'm just daydreaming about how good it is.
I was like, yeah. I haven't had that in a while.
Too. That's what I was thinking. Oh,
but it's it truly is rare to find outside of Texas, and it I love it that much. Mm. And the joke is it's hard to make. Like it's the process in the restaurant is hard. You pretty much have to make it to order. You can't just make a whole bunch ahead of time. So the first couple of years that our restaurant was open, we didn't have the Migas taco. And finally, you know, a pandemic went away and whatever. And it was like, we can finally have this taco. So now I eat it quite often. Yeah. On the corn tortilla.
Oh, mm. That's true. So good.
I don't know why I keep going to that voice, but.
I like it.
Talking about Lady Bird changes us all.
Yeah, yes. That's so yeah. True. Well, and more things that you're doing yeah. as well. Will you talk a little bit about the work of an organization that we both have loved and supported for years?
I love
Compassion.
Yeah.
Will you talk about what you do with yeah. them and just about them in general?
Yeah. So most people are surprised to learn that even though I am the lady of Lady Bird, just kidding. I never said that before. I work for Compassion International. So I run our artist program. Compassion, for those that don't know, is a child sponsorship organization. And we work through the local church in the developing world. And it is a blast. Like, mm-hmm. I love being able to say that I have a blast at my job. It actually started, go back again to Cademan's. I would have been probably 18 or 19. And I was a summer tour. And my job on the road was running the compassion table. And I remember knowing like, okay, I want to go into the music business. I wanted to do something. And I met Keith Bordeaux, who was mm-hmm. their artist rep at the time.
Yes.
He's one of our dear friends. And I just remember thinking like, well, that's an amazing job. Because every night you'd get on the bus and, you know, the audience might have been whatever. And this was in the heyday of their career, too. So the shows were a blast. They were so fun. But you'd get on and merch sales might not have been what you thought or whatever could have happened. But the intentionality behind them as a band saying how many kids got sponsored mm. was something that was so inspiring to watch. And I knew my heart for like creativity and art and story getting to blend with making a difference and helping an artist tell a bigger story outside of their own ministry was, that foundation was laid there. So then, but randomly, I became the photographer for Compassion. So Gabe and I got married. I had just graduated with a minor in photography, really just for fun because I loved, being creative. And we went on a trip and I remember they called and they said, hey, our photographer's camera, something, we were still using film too. Something happened. Did you happen to get any pictures of the artist at the house that we were visiting? And I was like, yeah. And I send them. And then no joke, it was like 2 months later, like, hey, do you want to go on this other trip? Never was that in my plan. And so I spent 10 plus years being the photographer, traveling, doing all the photos for Compassion. The whole time though, wanting to be a part of that artist team. Mm-hmm. And it's just a small team. And so then that opportunity came. So I was a part of the artist team, for like 12 years and then just moved into leading that team. And it's like the biggest honor. And I have a team full of amazing people. And we get to, just this morning, I was telling Gabe a story. It's like, I just love getting to hear artists share about something bigger than what's in front of them. And it is a joy to work for the organization. Our former president our job titles were all child advocates, which you guys would love and appreciate.
Yes.
And to get to do that at the end of a hard day and know that kids' lives are being changed through sponsorship and we sponsor ourselves, y'all do too. Mm. And it's the story and it's beautiful. So thanks for asking.
Yes. Yeah. And out of that work, you have a whole additional project.
I do.
With artists. We can talk about that too.
Yeah. So the Faithful Project.
Yes.
I started that before we had Everly and she's 6 and a half. So it's been a long time. It was, I basically work closely with so many artists and authors, and I started seeing this overlap between women specifically who inspired each other in their work. You know, you'd sit down and be like, oh, that blog post inspired this song, or this song was in the part I took from your chapter of this book. And I would see it, but you would see it happen. I mean, you guys get this. You're at a conference and all of a sudden you see someone that you love. You might even live in the same town, but you get like 5 minutes at catering and that's it. And it's this interaction. And so I started watching it. I had the opportunity to be in so many rooms where I would see these friendships that are there, but have crazy schedules in life, and they're not, the connection's not there. And so for me, my job is relationship, and that's what I care a lot about. So I was like, what if we created a space? Well, thank you. That to give space for that, to create a safe place, not for, to be honest, it originally wasn't even for a project. It was more just like a community to get to have a, you know, a Bible scholar and a songwriter in a room together. And it started with Ann Voskamp and Ellie Holcomb. We were on tour together and it was the first time they met, and we were on the bus and headed to tour, which you guys are now touring, touring authors as well. and we hadn't rehearsed, and it was, the show was the next day. And we're sitting on the bus and they're just swapping stories about how they inspired each other. And I was like, that's it. That's what y'all need to talk about. And so then I just kind of watched the audience, and I myself, every single night, was just so engaged in the in that part of it. So that's how Faithful was formed. We have a book and a project that came out. Again, it was a pandemic baby. Came out in 2021. And we're in the middle of working on our second one right now. And it's about so 25 exciting. Women strong. And it's truly... yeah, it's like a gift to me as well. Like, I kind of just had it and helped facilitate it, but the women have kind of run with it, which I'm so grateful for.
Yes.
And we will link to all that in the show notes. Yes, because it's extraordinary.
Thanks.
It really is. Yeah. And compassion.
Yeah.
So thankful you talked about that work.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Absolutely. You two have lived an unexpected and overwhelming chapter in the story of your family, and just are wondering if you would talk a little bit about that chapter, about the high five, and about how it led you all to being covered by CBS Sunday Mornings, The Atlantic, Southern Living, just to name a few.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit
still
about
still wild
it?
When I hear it.
Keep going.
you want me to start the pandemic part, or you want to start the other hard part?
Yeah, well, I mean...
opening the restaurant.
Yeah, it was, there were a couple of things that aligned, not in a great way, which was, again, the punchline to the joke, which is a musician decides to open a restaurant. And it was good, but, you know, it's still quite a change. And as we were getting the space built out and, you know, ready to go doing this new thing, shortly before we opened, like weeks before we opened, yeah, a worldwide pandemic happened. And the, you know, the early days were like, nobody knew what it was. So everybody's like staying indoors. And
like, I remember being at the restaurant and we were cleaning it, getting ready to open like that weekend. And our Andrew, one of our partners and chef, was in town. And I remember Everly was three and she's out there cleaning like the, like all the little carts. And I mean, it's like exciting. Mm-hmm. And my phone rang and tours started canceling. And Andrew's phone rang and Austin City Limits Festival or whatever that one is. Yeah. That canceled.
Wow.
And we both just looked at each other and we thought, I don't think we're opening a restaurant this weekend. But but it was the early days
maybe
where nobody
next
knew.
Weekend.
Yeah,
maybe next.
No. Yeah, we were still naive to be like, let's just move that plane ticket to like two weeks from now. We'll be good.
Sure.
Yeah. So we it became a major curveball. And so we eventually had to hire for free our friends because nobody was available to work. To basically run a very large taco truck.
That we held our doors. We opened in June.
Yeah.
So that was,
It's like, I've built the space out. Can't wait for y'all to not see it. And, you know, come to the door and we'll hand a bag of tacos to you.
Yes.
But we still opened.
Yep.
And the tacos were still quite
great.
Good.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And that's, I think anytime, whether it's two people or 2 million people. I think when hard times are thrown upon us, thankfully, human nature is to come together. And I think that was represented even at a taco shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A community comes together to help us. And then a community comes together to say, I want a taco so I can support this. and us trying our best to help each other get through something that none of us had ever, well, pretty much none of us had ever seen, a worldwide pandemic. So yeah. We survived it.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed.
But this other nutty thing happened a couple months in, and it was it's something that I only know the story to, and the details I don't know well. I know them well because I've heard the story a lot of times, but relatively healthy guy, but started feeling not very healthy and off. And then Keely can tell you, tell you kind of how it went down.
Yeah. So, I mean, back to what he was saying, it was crazy, but also fun. I mean, it was us, Ev, I have so many pictures of her, like she, 3 years old, and she'd say, "Order up, David Thomas," she knew how to do it. We had FaceTime with our partners. Cause I mean, keep in mind, you've gotten the picture. We knew nothing about restaurants. We just knew that we loved people and community and gathering people. Mm-hmm. And so we had a great team around us, but they're trying to save their restaurants down in Austin. So it truly was chaos. But if I really think back, it was beautiful chaos during that time. But we were stretched too thin, our life was a mess. Like we were stressed out. Even though it was fun and great, it was crazy. And we opened June, it was September. So 3 years ago this month that, Gabe just started feeling really off. And naturally our friends that are doctors and people that we're talking to would have thought it was stress, burnout, all those things, like everything pointed to that. But then it just happened really quickly. All the symptoms hit at one time, found ourselves in the ER for 2 days trying to figure out what was going on. And he was diagnosed with meningoencephalitis, which is, a hard word to say, which is viral meningitis from the cold sore virus which he had never had cold sores before, which is crazy as well. Instead of coming out as a cold sore, broke the brain barrier and became encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain. And so we spent a little over three weeks in the hospital. And they had prepared me for the worst. I mean, encephalitis is really rare. It's especially rare in a healthy 45-year-old. Mm. It's crazy. What it left him with, the damage, is so he was left with they call it an ABI, so acquired brain injury. Huh. Memory loss is the main thing. Also interesting, encephalitis, there's no cases that are the same. And which is really fascinating, but also so lonely. They don't have things to help you. Mm. Most everything they would give me was stuff for Alzheimer's or dementia.
Elderly.
Wow.
And it was, so that part was frustrating. So it's all confusing. And, take a pause. We have a restaurant and a little girl.
Yes.
And a pandemic.
Yes. So, I mean, there's so many things though where, you know, God showed up. Our doctors were absolutely incredible. Even though it was a pandemic, they made an exception that I could be home with Ev, and they let one of Gabe's friends every night spend the night with him, which was just amazing. Which is also like on the flip side of it too. I should say that he never forgot names and faces. That part wasn't damaged.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it speaks to, and there's so many ways of it that like memories are, some are absolutely gone. Mm-hmm. Some are spotty. Short-term memories still affected. And we kind of have to roll with it. Is that a good way to say it? Because there's no rhyme or reason.
That sounds too smooth, to be honest.
Don't roll with it like that.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's just a roll sounds like something that's sweet and yummy.
That's true.
Or round. And this is jagged.
Yeah, it's jagged.
Which is that, you know, not just for me, as it turns out, when something happens to a human being, anything, bad or good, it then is shared with all the people that are close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention their spouse. So, you know, if you win the lottery, that's good for both of you. Mm-hmm. If you wreck your brain, it can be rough for both of you and your child.
Yeah.
We only have one. And it is, it's rough that, it's rough to lose your past, which is still weird to say, but I can say it. I don't remember many details of my life, but I made peace with that. As much as you can make peace with that. And then, you know, pleading with God, like, just give me back my short-term memory so that I can remember 2 days ago. And I'm still pleading. It's, there are things that I can remember, but I don't get to choose what those things are. So it might be something silly and dumb, or it might be something special and awesome. But that's the new way. That's the path forward. And I would trade it back in a millisecond. I don't know if Keely would, but I would.
Yeah.
Because it's been very destructive in life.
Mm.
But, and there's always a but, that it turns out living a relatively smooth life, which is fortunate. Mm. It turns out it's true that when bad things happen and you don't have a choice, one, it's proof that you're not in control. And it's also proof that, you adjust and find a new way to make things work, happen, thrive, not thrive, cry. And it turns out also that, I'm just forced to be in the moment. I don't have a choice, but as several adages go, they ring true to me. Being in the moment. It's something you should do, brain damage or otherwise, which is, and this is no offense to God, but that's also part of my new gospel that I preach to people, I think Jesus preached as well.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is, there are no guarantees. This is what you have. So right now, like the three of you in the room with me is the most important thing in my life. Do I still love Everly? Yeah, she's my daughter. I do, but she's doing her thing right now. This is where we're at. Yeah. So, let's make the most of it. Let's love on people. Let's, try to find an opportunity every single moment to serve others. And they're there.
That's a great reminder.
Yes.
That's been one of the discoveries, is not only can we do that, but those moments are there because we're all hurting, and we've been, maybe not taught, but things have normalized to where, you know, there's not time to actually answer a question honestly when somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" "Good. How are you?" "Good."
Right.
There's more to it. "How are you doing?" "No, not so great. How can I help?" "I probably can't, but I love you, you know?" So, go figure. It's true.
It's always so like inspiring hearing him talk. It's gonna make me cry hearing him talk, because it's like, we also have to put in the work to get there.
Yeah.
And we have a great team around us. And I think early on learning that, you know, Jesus is no stranger to suffering, but suffering is such a complicated topic. And learning early on to hold grief and joy simultaneously. And I found myself so often early on being so sad and mad and angry, so sad. And then I'd go, but he's here, you know? And when we talk about community, and he mentioned that we had all the people that came and stayed with him, and we had meals for as long as we needed them. We, in a time where we felt so unloved and like, where is God in this? You could not deny his presence through our community and people praying for us. And I think one of the biggest moments for both of us, I think you were trying to say this, like acceptance. Mm-hmm. And we both have different views of acceptance of what this is, right? Like it is a life change for us. But is that idea of, and our community praying for a miracle, praying for restored health, right? All those things. Like, thank you for praying for him. But I think for us, we had to learn like the miracles that he lived. And now, because of this amazing lesson of being in the moment, I actually feel like I'm in a miracle, you know? Mm. Like, I take those things and realize, like, yes, do I wish he was fully restored? Do we wish his memory was back? Of course we do. Do we wish that Everly didn't have to help him remember things? Obviously. But he's here, and we're learning these lessons. We have an amazing community. We have a thriving taco shop, which is still laughable.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the miracle that we're living in it. And I think that for us has been the biggest change. And yeah, like I think yesterday we had to fight through it, you know, like daily we have to fight through it. It's not easy, but it's learning that I always think of that kids movie Inside Out, joy grabs sadness by the hand, right? Mm. I remember thinking about that and that made no sense to me before September of 2020. And now I'm like, oh, joy and sadness have to be together and they can be together. And are we sad? 100%. Every day? Yeah.
At least.
Multiple times a day. But are we grateful? Every day. Which is just like...
Yeah. Talking to another part of your question, which is the high five. This is even... Take it for what it is, but I view it as at least a tiny, small miracle, which is, you know, my buddy Andy Gullihorn and I spent years being on the same Christmas tour together, not living far from each other. We play music together. We spend 3 weeks on a bus together. We'd play games, hit it off, like love each other. And then we'd come home and get busy with life and not see each other until the next year at Christmas time. And it's, something as simple as us liking each other, being kind to each other. And then getting off tour and saying, man, we got to hang. Like, we need to make it happen this year. And then him telling me, you know, almost 10 years ago now, hey, how about this?
We had just moved, so we were closer to him.
Yeah, we were less than 2 miles from them. Like, hey, why don't you just start walking towards my house and I'll start walking towards yours and we'll give each other a high five. And it was like, oh, that sounds funny. And also, yeah. And so we did. The part we didn't think through was like, what do you do after that? Like, we literally walked towards each other and I think probably giggled a little bit as we got close to each other. Like, we're grown men with responsibilities and families. And we just high-fived. And it just took 45 minutes out of our day. And it turned out it took more because then we stood there and talked for 3 hours catching up on life. And so we said, hey, why don't we do it again? And so we've been doing it, for almost a decade. Every single week, he walks my way, I walk his.
Way to quote Diamond Rio, right?
Yeah, we meet in the middle. Meet that old. This is Tennessee, though, yeah. All that to say, we've been doing it for a really long time. It's become habit in a good way. Mm-hmm. And it's become part of who I am. Like, it truly is part of my being, and I can prove it to you on a microphone in this very moment, which is that when my brain went wild and it was like, trying to, remember what happened 20 seconds ago and I couldn't, or that I had a daughter, or...
The taco shop, you had no memory of
or
that.
Or that I had, decided to be a ding-dong and open a taco shop. Andy was the one at the hospital with me at the time. And we'd get up occasionally in a, walk. I think I still had some stuff hooked to me, but we get up and walk, and he said, hey, I need you to do something for me. Like, can you just like walk towards me and I'll walk towards you and then give me a high five. And the secret I'm going to tell you right now is that over the years we had altered the high five, and it had become a multi-move event. So we wouldn't just high five. We would clap, and then we would hold our hand up and snap, and then we would high five. And we're both musicians, so we would try to do it synchronized.
Yeah, of course.
But he was like, you know, my buddy doesn't remember who he is. Just walk towards me and give me a high five. Because he was like, I want to put it in the journal that he keeps.
Oh, yeah, sorry. There's a high five journal.
Yeah, he journals every single one. And I don't want to miss one. And so I'm walking towards him, brainless. And my body did the thing.
Wow.
It did it in the wrong order. But I snapped and I clapped and I high-fived, which is the movement is not nearly as efficient. But I did it. And my buddy starts crying. And I was like, did I do it wrong? Like, what's going on? Wow. And as it turns out, I didn't do it wrong. It's not even discipline. It's joy to do it, but it's consistent. And in a brain that had gone crazy and forgotten most of its life, that movement was still there. Is that not crazy?
Crazy.
I mean, it still is to me. Even as I say it, I don't believe me, but Keely remembers it. Yep. And Annie remembers it. It's true. Intentionality. Like, even if it means going out of your way, walking down a random street in front of people, do it. If it connects you with somebody, another human being, it's proof that it matters and that it stays. So, yeah. High five.
It's like such a small, beautiful, like funny thing that like we laugh about. And to CBS Sunday Morning's point, I remember at the dinner party where they decided to do it, the cell for Jill and I, Andy's wife, because they're known for just going and playing games for a very long time, being nines and wasting time, was, well, maybe that's the kind of thing that'll get you on CBS Sunday Morning. And that was the joke.
No.
Yeah.
For years
it was the joke. And I was like, okay, a high five. I was like, it's going to take a lot longer than 10 years to get on for a high five. And here, this silly little thing that we would laugh about is probably one of the greatest gifts for us, like for our families, for lessons. I remember Andy's oldest son, Drew, is a senior in high school, and he started having like serial meetups with his back of his car, like random things before school. And he's just said, well, Dad, I watch you and Gabe high five. And it's like Everly calls Andy Uncle Five. And it's like a simple act of a high five actually has more meaning and intentionality, like Gabe said, that is beautiful and we love it. And randomly, yeah, CBS Sunday Morning.
and I just want to point out really quick with a smile on my face that the goal with our wives in that moment when we were like, hey, we're not wasting time, you know, we're going to get on CBS Sunday Morning. It was 10 years and we did it in 7.
That's true. Sorry.
that's so good.
How dare I? Yeah. Forget that.
Yeah. So that was...
wow.
But yeah, he never forgot. I think too, like the habit, the other both and gift is you also never forgot music and how to play. So one of his goals during that, or like on the, you know, at the hospital, he had like a sheet of goals. It was to get home, and then it was whatever physical therapy needed you to do that day. And then the third was play the Andrew Peterson Christmas show, which he's been a part of since the beginning. This is the
23rd year.
Yeah. And that year was COVID, but they still did it at the Ryman, mask, the whole deal. And we invited the whole doctor team to come and see him play. And they all thought like, oh, he's going to play one song.
Socially distanced, of course.
Yes, right. Thank you. Yeah. And, but he got up there and he played, I mean, in his ear, they were telling him what key, what song, what instrument. He would come off stage and have, I mean, it was, to be honest, it was heartbreaking, just how disoriented he was, but he did it. And to me, I think that was such a great reminder of like, A, like the body remembers, right? Yes. Like he remembered how to play. Our community, talk about that, surrounding us. And yeah, that was like that to me, that is such a first step in our healing.
Yeah.
And just the reminder of what's intuitive and friends and faces. And when I said that, like never forgot names and faces, he might not be able to tell you how he met you, but like, it's like so beautiful because it's like the soul knowing the soul.
Yeah.
Like that's the only way I can describe it. Like he couldn't remember how we met. You know, we've been married almost 20 years, but yet it never went away that we were married. Mm-hmm. Or like his friend that would walk into the room, you knew who that person was, yeah. but you just had to be reminded, and still do,
yeah.
of the why and the how. Gosh, y'all.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I read a book. I was given a book for high school graduation by Khalil Gibran. I don't know how you even say his name. And it had a quote in it that I have gone back to a million times. And I talk about it in counseling, and y'all are making me think about it as you're telling this story. And it is, the deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Mm. Which That's feels good. Like y'all's story. Yeah. Walked out. Yeah. And to think about Everly as a part of that story. Ooh, and the joy I know she has brought you both.
Yeah.
Would love for you to talk about her. She is precious. I love following on Instagram and just seeing her. Her little personality is so delightful.
Yeah.
Would love for you to talk about her and the stage that she's in, how old she is, and what you would say are the, because we're talking about the ages and stages in this season, the good and maybe the hard parts of parenting.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so Ev is hilarious. She's six and a half. We waited a while to have kids, and so, or have a kid. and so she's kind of just grown up around older kids and us. And so it's really funny because she just, her vocabulary and talks like an adult at times. So we have to watch ourselves.
She's
really smart.
Taco shop at three.
Oh, yeah.
At 3 years old. Advanced for a long time.
Yes. She tells people she runs the taco shop, and she's probably not far off from that.
And most of our friends, their kids are in high school or college.
Yeah.
So she truly, I mean, and through her school now she's got friends her age, but when we're hanging with our friends, it's normally like they're her aunts and uncles, you know?
And I think too, like we chose, back to your quote, we chose early on, actually, I remember texting David in the midst of everything and just saying like, help me. I don't know if you know what's going on with us, but help me. And your response was, Connie and I can be there in 5 minutes on my back deck. but the stuff you texted me, and one of the things was age appropriate. Tell her age appropriate. I remember going to like my mom and some of our friends that were there, and we decided very early on, and then even later with the help of a therapist that we see, like it's part of our life. Like, memory issues or not, like grief, it is there. And so I think one of the things that, to answer your question about the current stage, is what she learned in that stage 3 years ago and just how resilient and like a little sponge. And so she, like her mama, has some anxiety. And so to me, to watch her teach me, you know, like I'll see her do her little box breathing on her leg, you know? And then early on, Gabe was so disoriented. So we did the five senses thing of naming stuff. And so that was so, well, maybe you can talk about habit, you know, like it was so habitual for her in heartbreak. Like, I hate that she witnessed that, but now I get to see her as she's got her own feelings and talking through things. And she has tools that I didn't gain until I was in my 40s. And so I think there's something about like that for me that I don't feel like even worthy to get to witness it. Like, it is so fun. Fun's a bad word to describe the hard part of it, but I'm so encouraged by it.
Such a gift.
Yeah. And she uses language, you know, like we had our Brave Girls Club, you know, and even though it came about because we were missing dad, it doesn't change that when she has to go off and not see me after school and go straight to ballet and she's nervous that she doesn't go Brave Girls Club, you know? So I think that right now for me is just seeing her blossom and seeing something that I was so afraid of her witnessing, hopefully continue to be a tool that serves her better, that, I mean, truly, I didn't learn it till I was 40, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
That was just last year.
In my 40s,
Yeah, Everly is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, she's ours, so of course we're going to say that. But it really is, I think it's amazing to see the dynamic of, like, and we saw it for years with our friends' kids as they grew up, this dynamic of this this beautiful soul, this individual, and how it's still, for better and for worse, very moldable and shapeable. Mm-hmm. and getting to see these people that we love, raise these kids that we love, and now getting to see them as grownups, it's like, whoa, good things promote good things. Mm. And having Everly at a slightly older age, and this isn't, I'm not saying it's the only way to go. It's the only way that I know, but I think it's pretty awesome because we've figured a little bit more out. We don't have anything figured out, but you know what I mean? we've hit our stride a little bit more. And so we don't get worked up over the things that we may have when we first got married. Mm-hmm. And it's not a total bypass. I mean, she's doing stuff she shouldn't do all the time.
All the time.
But
she's too smart.
She does it in a very mature way.
Yeah. There you go.
Like outwitting us and outsmarting us. So,
yes.
Yeah.
She is exquisite. Like, aww. I think sometimes about knowing her as, chokes me up, aww, as an adult woman, mm, and the story that she's lived and the awareness, mm, and the empathy, yeah, that she carries. And I think
what it's growing,
I cannot,
in her,
wait to know her. I, oh, really,
thanks,
can't.
Thinking the same thing.
And I think about,
exactly,
you know, her growing up, living life with the two of you. I just, mm, I can't imagine. I'm so, mm, excited to know her.
Thank you.
As, thanks, an adult woman.
Oh, sweet, yeah, man.
Yeah. And just would love to ask you both too, what would you say is some of the best parenting advice you've ever been given?
Ooh. Mm. We have so many wise people, and I lean on so many of my friends and my mom. Probably gonna make me cry. I think Gabe's taught us that we're busy people, as you could tell, right? We've got, mm, a lot of things going on. But that reminder, although it is forced for one of us to be in the moment, is probably the best parenting advice I've had. Like, he's so good at helping me, like, centering it back. Mm. Like, hey, stay in the moment. When I get spinning and I'm thinking to Christmas already and what we're going to be doing and our plans, hey, but we're here. Like, be in this moment. Like, she's on the swing. She's playing. Just go play. I'm sometimes jealous of it when I watch him with her because, mm, it's beautiful. But it's probably the best parenting advice that I've had is actually from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you. She kind of stole mine, but no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I think that trust, and I don't remember the books I've read or not read. So this might be something that everybody says, but this idea of trust, like, what is that? What does that even mean? How deep does it go? Mm. And do you trust people who are 40 some odd years younger than you, to make a call on something? And starting to try and navigate that with a child who has quite a bit of authority built into her, mm-hmm, somehow, getting to a place where doing my best to trust her, mm, and what she says she's going to do or how she's going to act or where she's going to go, or and which quite often times she fails at that, but quite often she doesn't. And it's, I'm not trying to dodge the question and flip it, but sometimes it's almost like being parented. Mm. Like, she's parenting me. Mm. Meaning that she is reminding me of, oh, this is what life is about. She just got sidetracked because she saw something exciting and didn't do the thing I asked her to do. Oh, well, maybe I'm happy that she just did that, because the junk can get done. So, you know, and there are times where I definitely have to still be the parent. Keely has to be the parent.
Sure.
But just to point out this idea of whatever, even talking about faith, childlike faith, mm-hmm, golly, that's hard, because we become not child, mm, and a lot comes with that. A lot of numbness comes with that, mm, at least for me. And being reminded, literally, of this young, beautiful soul who doesn't buy into all the stuff that we buy in over time, mm, that she still just believes, like, oh yeah, Jesus loves me. I love him too. I love my mom and my dad. Oh, and my dog's cute, even though it makes mom and dad mad all the time. But
Thanks to Sissy. Golly. Sissy's the reason we got a dog. Yeah. So you can blame her.
The simplification of that, though, truly has been a gift to me.
Yeah.
So. That's so good.
We like to end with something fun and food related. Yep. We talked tacos already. We got one last question to ask you. Queso or guac?
Queso.
Guac.
That was
she
so
didn't
fast.
Even need
guac.
To think.
Guac. Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Now you do.
Okay.
Wow.
We make a perfect couple.
Yes, you do, because you get it all.
Both.
Yeah. Wait, do you like the guac and the queso? Because that's actually would be my answer.
Like the combined? Or
yeah, like Texas
both?
Style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We can still be good.
Yes, me too. Which is how y'all
I know
feel
it's good.
It.
I know.
So good.
Yeah.
You all, thank you.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
We love being with you.
Oh,
likewise.
No, y'all are extraordinary people.
Yes, you are. We waited a long time for this conversation. It was worth the wait.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for doing this with us.
We are honored to get to be here.
Thanks for doing what you do.
I know. Seriously.
Goodness.
Thank you. Did you love today's episode? If so, would you mind sharing it with a friend? Send a quick text or email with the link to the show.
Join us next time for another episode where we'll bring you help and hope on your journey of raising boys and girls.